Third, we store up extra energy. We will run and not get tired. Notice its future tense. When we do encounter the thing we have been dreading, we will encounter it with new strength. Extra energy will be ours to use. Fourth, we will deepen our determination to persevere. We will walk and not become weary. The Lord whispers reassurance to us. He puts steel in our bones, so to speak. We begin to feel increasingly more invincible. We'll gain new strength. We'll get better perspective. We'll store up extra energy. We'll deepen our determination to persevere. All that happens when we wait. At that same time, during that period of waiting, nothing is happening, at least not nothing visible. You could easily tell yourself at the time, I'm waiting in vain, nothing's going to change. That's what the adversary wants you to think. Waiting's a waste. Don't you believe it. When the enemy's message roams into your mind, you need to kick it out. Reject it. Look at another verse in Isaiah, just a few verses after the eagle verse. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13. It's those kinds of thoughts that strengthened Esther while she was waiting and praying and fasting 3 days. Mordecai did the same as Esther had commanded. Now the roles were reversed. He was no longer in charge. She was. Or better still, the Lord was. And as the Lord gripped her heart, she became unafraid of what she faced. It was a silent yet powerful parenthesis in Esther's life. This may be one of those white spaces in your own life. Maybe it's time for you to pray and to fast and to call upon a few close friends to fast and pray with you. Maybe it's time for you to say, I'm not going to rush into this unpredictable and unprecedented situation. I don't know my way through. I can't find the path to walk, so I'm going to wait. In the meantime, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to listen with a sensitive ear. I'm going to watch the Lord's leading with a sensitive eye. I'm reminded of the psalmist's words. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not reach him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with the songs of deliverance. Psalm 32, verses 6 and 7. And God answers, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 32, verse 8. God counsels us with his eye. The eye makes no sound when it moves. It requires a sensitive earthly eye to watch the movement of the eye of God, God's directions. All he may do is turn your attention in another direction, but that's all you may need. When you wait, you listen. You pore over a favorite passage in his word. You quietly give attention to his presence and to his direction. I'm suggesting that that's precisely what happens during the interlude between these two chapters in Esther's life. As she prepares for her finest hour, she must wait, think, pray, stay quiet, fast, and listen in her soul. A calm, wise, confident plan. Because of this interlude with God, Esther is able to approach the moment of truth, to step into the presence of the king calmly and wisely and confidently. Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room, opposite the entrance to the palace. And it happened, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. In the margin beside that verse in your Bible, I'd like you to write a verse from Proverbs that I mentioned in the previous chapter. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. It turns it wherever he wishes. Proverbs 21, verse 1. No king has ever intimidated God. No matter how wealthy his treasury, how extensive his kingdom, or how powerful his armies, God can handle anyone,